Not many opportunities like this that you get in a lifetime. This is a very young season right now. A lot at stake on this football game. But for what you pay the price for, there are great rewards.
Are you ready?
Live from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is The Blitz with Rick Butler, Chance Collins, and Brandon Orrick.
Morning. Welcome to the Blitz today, live on Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville. Hope everyone out there is having a fantastic start to their morning so far. Today is Tuesday, January 21st. I want to give a happy birthday shout out to my friend Garrison. Shout out. But hey, we're in it. It is 10:03 a.m. and we are here in the studio. We are ready to rock and roll for a fantastic 2-hour show today. Thank you for being here with us. My name is Rick Butler, joined to my left by Brandon Orrick, joined to my right by Chance Collins. The fish is out today. He's got a couple other responsibilities to take care of. So you got us. We got the trio in the studio, and we are fired up. Brandon, Chance, how's it going this morning?
Pretty good, Rick. Pretty good. Can't complain.
Okay. Feeling good. Feeling great, Rick.
LeBron James, too.
LeBron James took that L last night to the
he
Celtics.
Did.
Uh-oh.
He did. He also got dunked on by your boy.
Yeah.
Oh, that was huge.
My guy, Jaylen Brown,
your guy.
Put him on a poster last night.
LeBron, Father Time's starting to hit him.
We flipped over to the Celtics-Lakers game twice yesterday in the middle of our Bachelor commercials, and we were lucky enough to see that dunk. That was nasty.
It was.
But you were hesitant. You said... You know what? Maybe I'm not doing so good. What was that?
Oh, no, I was going to say I can complain.
Oh, okay.
It's cold outside.
Yeah.
It's freezing.
Yeah.
And I am not a fan. I'm not here for it.
I know you got on the beanie.
I am ready. Yeah. Yeah, I'm usually not a hat guy, not a beanie to buy. It's cold.
Yeah.
You were about to. Don't call it a toboggan. Toboggan is a sled. Don't do that.
No, it's a toboggan.
It's a sled.
Toboggan,
yeah,
beanie.
I don't really.
I hate the toboggan.
Yeah, I do too.
It's a sled.
I do too.
It's either a scully, it's a beanie, it's a stocking cap if you want to be, you know, really.
It's
a
toboggan if you want to call it a toboggan.
No, it's an
yes.
Toboggan is
not
an
a
awkward
toboggan,
word.
Brandon.
So
it's
you're
an
telling me
word.
You're
it's
telling me
say.
That my mom and dad and my family they're wrong for calling it that. That's how I was raised. That's what I was raised to call it.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
No
offense to your family, but
a toboggan
is a sled.
I don't know.
I think all the Orrick clan should just switch over to current times. Call it a beanie.
Whoa.
Toboggan is just a weird name.
Whoa.
You know?
We will even take the New York reference of a Scully. You can even go Scully if you want to.
Scully?
Yeah, that's what the kids are saying.
I don't think so.
Do you live in New York?
No. I live here.
Good point, Rick. Good point, Rick.
Look, I don't know if the kids do that over in New York, but I don't live there, so I can't dispute.
You know what the kids in Granger County call it?
What?
A toboggan.
Mm. Mm. Well.
Kids in Granger County need to know that a toboggan is a sled.
Yeah.
The more you know. Doo-doo-doo. Remember that from NBC?
Off to a great start today.
I've been
attacked. In the first 6 minutes of the show, I've been attacked.
Well, you come in with this, you know, this scully on. You never wear scullies.
It's not a scully. Why are you calling it a scully?
It's on your skull. It could be. It's a scully. That's what they say up north. Even in the Midwest, got a lot of Chicago family. Even I know people in New York that call it scully. Get with the times, Brandon. Get with the times. You sound like a boomer.
Maybe there is a little bit of a regional.
Yeah.
You know, or certainly a...
And even
by region,
if you were really going to be emphatic on the whole toboggan thing, that's more of like, I'm from Minnesota. Like, I'm from like...
Ah, sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Minnesota.
See if I ever wear this thing again. I wear this. I wear it one time. And
one
I get attacked,
time.
And I get attacked.
We're not attacking. It's just we're having a conversation here. Just wanted to know.
It's a very aggressive conversation.
Like Chance said, the more you know.
Mm-hmm. Doo-doo-doo.
Hey, the more you need to know... is that Tennessee's got a hoops game tonight. Taking on the Rebels of Ole Miss. 9 o'clock? What is that? That
yeah.
totally caught me off guard.
That's the start time.
Well, what happened to our 7 o'clock games? Those are perfect. 9 p.m.?
Sometimes they have games that start at 9 o'clock.
I don't like that, though. Anyways, 9 o'clock p.m., Ole Miss, Tennessee, SEC Network. Tennessee, a 7.5-point favorite. I mean, this is our lead story today. Because Tennessee, let's see, you're coming off that a big win over Vanderbilt where you kind of got some things, you certainly got some things worked out there in the second half. What's kind of your initial thoughts on this game coming up tonight from Thompson Bowling Arena?
I think you got to hope that Saturday for Jordan Bowden carries over into tonight. He didn't take as many threes against Vanderbilt. As he usually does, I feel like, and I mean, although he did have 20, he still had 21 points. So maybe he's kind of changing his game and trying to find what works. Regardless, you got to hope that that carries over into tonight, and that he can kind of carry the team and be that leader that he's kind of been looked to all season as.
Yeah, I definitely agree. When you have a senior guard like Jordan Bowden, it's great to see, especially when he's coming out of a slump. Because let's not forget, like we've seen this before. We've seen instances in his career where Jordan Bowden has gone cold for a couple weeks or so, or maybe at least just not up to standards with his normal productivity level. But then it takes a big game, right? And then he kind of shakes out of it a little bit. Hopefully that's the case now. But at the same time, he's still going to be drawing their best defender. He's still going to be one of the focal points. So you're going to have to really expect and count on Jordan Bowden to find the best shots for him. And I think versus Vanderbilt, he 100% did that. In some of these other games, I'm trying to look. Like in the game versus LSU, right? Didn't do that as much. Just wasn't taking good shots for him. Wasn't taking effective shots. Some of these more long-range two-point jumpers, those aren't good. And then you end up with 3 points. So Jordan Bowden's last 5 games, a little bit strange, going from oldest to most recent, 3-13, 6-12, 21. So he's kind of all over the place. If I want to ask one thing from Jordan Bowden, it's maybe just a little bit of consistency, right? Maybe if Jordan Bowden, I think, could hover between 10 and 15, the team's in a much better position than it is right now. It's just that things are so streaky. You know?
Yeah, and I mean, that's kind of been the whole story throughout his career is him being streaky.
With him, and I just think even this team outside of, like, last year very dominant, and you had a very, experienced team, but in the last, 3 out of 4 years, that's been the tone is not a lot of consistency up and down teams. I mean, especially with this entire team. You don't get a consistent team each night. Every night it's something different, whether they're turning the ball over too much, not attacking the rim, shooting too many threes some nights. Some nights they're going in. Some nights they are attacking the rim, getting to the free throw line. Then when they're doing that, they're not playing defense. They just haven't played a full all-around game in a long time.
Well, with this team, I think to go hand-in-hand with what you're saying, Chance, you've had so many different roster lineup and roster combinations just in these 16, 17 games, however many games they've played so far this year. I mean, from the start of the season where you thought you're going to have Urosh, he doesn't get cleared until just a couple days ago. You have Santiago Vescovi who comes in at the start of SEC play. That's a new piece. Urosh finally gets cleared. That's a new piece. Yeah, he's been practicing with the team, but he's not out on the floor seeing actual game time. Lamonte Turner goes out. I mean, you've had to kind of mix and match pieces, and I mean, it's the same way with anything. I mean, you've got to build chemistry, and I think that's still something that this team's working on, and I think you all the pieces are set. Barring any unforeseen injury,
right?
You're kind of set this is the team. And hopefully moving forward, this team can build chemistry and can continue to grow, get better on the offensive end, get better on the defensive end, learn their teammates, what they're good at, what they're not good at. Just learn. I mean, I think that's what you got to do. And, I mean, you've got – how many games have they played in conference? Five?
Yes.
Four or five?
It was four.
Four, and tonight will be five. Mm-hmm. So you've got 14 more games.
We played five so far.
Okay, so you've got 13 more games.
Yeah. Hey, I want to ask you a question real quick. So at the beginning of January, right when 2020 hit, we got the news that Santiago Viscovi would be an addition to this team. We were all ecstatic for rightful reasons because we desperately needed a point guard, especially one that could shoot the three. So he's played in five games for Tennessee, all the conference games so far. LSU, Missouri, South Carolina, Georgia, Vanderbilt. Now, starting with LSU and working my way towards Vanderbilt, here are the point totals. 18, 12, 13, 7, 5. Now, to me, the first thing that comes to my head is, man, was this a situation where he kind of came into the league, nobody knew what he was going to do, and he was really able to take advantage of it those first few games? I mean, when he scored 18 against LSU, when he hit all those, six three-pointers, nobody had seen him play yet. Will Wade and LSU didn't know what he was going to do. We didn't really know what he was going to do. Then you get another good outing versus Missouri, another good outing versus South Carolina, drops off a little bit versus Georgia, drops off a little bit versus Vanderbilt. What did kind of you think about Santiago Viscovi and where he is currently on this team? I mean, do you see that something where, you know, hey, yeah, other teams have tape on him, and that's basketball. So now he has to figure out more additions to his game. Obviously, he's here, he's in the system, and he's got the basic fundamentals down. Now do we need to add a couple more wrinkles and just keep giving him new weapons in the arsenal to hopefully get that, you know, it's only really been decreasing so far. At some point, we need those numbers to go back up. Because in reality, he is one of our best three-point shooters. I mean, he's shooting 48% from three. I think we got to find him more shots so that these last two games don't end up with 5-7. He's a key piece for us.
Yeah, I mean, you didn't really need him against Vanderbilt. I mean,
yeah,
that one turned out okay. I don't know. It's probably a combination of things. I mean, I do think that tapes kind of – I mean, he's had a few games and tapes out on him, and teams are kind of – picking up on his tendencies.
Well, then let me ask you this. Do you worry about that? Do you worry about the fact that it's gone from 18 to 5 and it's pretty much only been decreasing so far?
No. I mean, I'm not right now. I mean, if it continues the rest of the season, then yeah.
Sure.
But right now, I mean you can't expect him to average 18 and he is still a freshman.
Yeah, yeah. And he, let's also remember, he's in what, like his third week living in the United States?
Yeah, so I mean,
a big transition.
You can't expect him to just continue to keep scoring at that high of a clip. I mean, he's, like you said, he's new. It's going to take some time. I'm not worried about it right now. Like
sure.
I said, if it continues, then yeah, it'll be a little bit of cause for concern. But right now, I'm playing the wait and see.
Sure. Hey, we have a action-packed show for you here today. I mean, we have so much great stuff to talk about. Here's a little rundown of what we got going today. First off, we've already been talking about the Tennessee-Ole Miss game. We'll continue talking about that throughout the show. Talked a lot about the Tennessee players involved right now. Got to also look at the other side. What is Ole Miss doing on the court? How can Tennessee slow it down? How much of a challenge will they present? Then we got some football talk. I went through yesterday. I sat down at the kitchen table and I did some research into Jarrett Garantano because I wanted to see, right, if anything, just for hindsight purposes, right, like what did that actually roller coasting season look like? So I went and compiled all the stats. I put them together, and I think they tell an interesting story. The results may surprise you. So that's coming up. We also got transfer quarterbacks on the move. Renaya Davis. Whoa!
Clutch!
You see that, Brandon?
What a shot!
Yes.
You don't seem too enthused.
You think I live under a rock?
You're not enthused about Renaya Davis? Just a big bleep you to the haters?
What is it?
To the Bammers?
Yeah, to the Bammers. You hate Alabama. I don't feel your enthusiasm, sir.
I'm pumped up, Chase.
There you go.
I'm pumped up.
That might have been the best buzzer beater I've seen from a Tennessee player. That was truly remarkable.
Period?
Yeah.
We could debate that.
I mean, I'd have to think of some more examples, certainly, but at least in recent memory. Look, that play was nuts.
Texas, yeah. Chris Loftin, yeah. NCAA tournament.
Look, there's a lot of good ones. But in terms of a difficulty shot, that one's good. Hey, last thing we got to talk about at some point today. One word. Hyphen. Fartgate. So, Chance, yesterday, I got Brandon to do it.
You did?
I did. Brandon and I sat down. I got him to watch a full episode.
I told you that I would. I told you that I would agree to watch it. I had agreed to watch it. It's not like you.
Well, okay. Yeah, I didn't like twist your arm or anything. Yeah.
You watched it.
But he did.
Yeah.
We sat down. We watched 2 full hours.
We decided as a show that this is what we're going to do, so.
There you go.
Had to do
I like it.
It.
I like
we'll
it.
Certainly get into that a little you know, bit later.
We got to get Fish convinced.
Yeah, and I don't want to go full conspiracy theorist.
I think you do, given that the music. I think you do.
I think the universe is telling us that you are.
It's kind of fitting. He threw a little bit of a fit about having to watch The Bachelor last night. Didn't really want to talk about it. He didn't really want to watch it. Felt like he was going to be forced. He was going to miss his Monday Night Raw. And today, fish out of water.
What are you saying, Chance?
That fish is on the
hook. I'm not saying that it's purposeful. I'm just saying things are a little
fishy.
Fishy.
Suspect.
I don't know. I don't know.
He's on the hook today. He'll be on the hook tomorrow. We'll get to the bottom of
it. We're going
to
quiz him. If you're listening, Fish Out of Water, you will be quizzed on The Bachelor, episode 3 now.
Yeah.
Speaking of fish, did you
I love talking about fish.
His tweet last night?
No.
And apparently, Chance, I don't know if you felt this or not, apparently there was an earthquake in Knoxville last night.
Yeah.
I think there was one.
Well, it was
like
during,
yesterday afternoon. Too.
Yeah, it was. Well, I don't know about the last night part, but there definitely was
yesterday sometime.
Yeah, like 2:45. It was like 2:30, 2:45. I felt slight, like, but I live in North Knoxville, and I was just like,
well, that's where it was apparently.
Well, I think
it was like up, like around. It was around where Fish is from.
Really,
it's like up north.
Huh.
Yeah,
I thought it was more so. Everybody kept saying it was west. I felt a little bit of it, but like I also at the time was like sitting in my truck. Listening to a podcast, I do that a lot. Like, you ever get home and you just sit in the driveway if you're at home or you just sit in your parking space?
Yeah.
I do that a lot and, like, listen to a podcast. And I'm just sitting there, and I just thought it was my truck idling. And I was like, then I started getting on Twitter.
little rough idle.
Yeah, I was like, whoa. What was that?
Take it to the shop.
Yeah, and then I got on Twitter, and everybody was talking about it. So I was like, oh, that makes sense now.
It was a magnitude 3.8 yesterday at, let's see, it says 2012, so that would be, what, 8:12? PM, but I feel like it was a lot earlier than that. So maybe there were two? Oh yeah, there you go. So there was a 2.8 just north of Knoxville again. So there was one at 11:19 PM and then there was also one AM and then there was also one at 8:12 PM. I didn't feel either of these.
Oh yeah, you're right, like what you said, up where the fish is from, according to
it literally says Campbell County.
Yeah. According to WVLT, there was even damage reported at a Campbell County home after the 3.8 magnitude earthquake.
See,
was felt.
This is why I wanted Fish here today. I wanted him to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
So did he feel it?
Yeah.
Wow.
According to his tweet.
Huh.
Fish in an earthquake.
Hey, let me go ahead and bring this up. Because just while we're on side conversations right now, Chance, I have a big issue. and I need to know your opinion on it.
Okay.
So my sister, well, we've already talked about this. So my sister sent me a package, right? She sent me a watch, right, in the mail.
Got it.
It was delivered on January 16th, so 5 days ago. I live in apartment 916. My sister accidentally sent it to 913, right? So I went over there four separate times yesterday to knock on the door just to be like, hey, you know, my name is Rick. I'm your neighbor over here.
Yeah.
My sister sent me a package. It looks like it might have been delivered to you. Is there any way? You know, do you maybe have it or anything like that? They never answered, and they were home the entire time. All right, the entire time I could hear them through the door. I would knock, everything goes dead silent. So eventually, by like the fourth time, I left a note basically saying the same thing. Hey, my name is Rick. I think we had a mail mix-up. Is there any way you can get in contact with me? So I left the note, and then I went back into our apartment, and then I went back outside like 2 minutes later, and the note was gone.
Ooh.
Right? So clearly, they knew I had been knocking this whole time.
Yeah.
They like probably watched me through the peephole, put the note down, and then right as I turned the corner, they snagged it. Right? So we go on like...
Apple Watch.
We go on, yeah.
Oh.
So we go on like 10 minutes, right? And I'm getting no contact. And then eventually, I get a text from this person. Apparently, they gave it back to the mail. That's all they wanted to say. If I believe that people are good, if I give them the benefit of the doubt, then yeah, they just sent it back to return to sender. It'll go back to my Plano home.
It should come back to you.
But I'm nervous.
It'll go back to your sister.
Yeah. But I'm nervous now.
I give it a couple days. And then like, if you see them, like, well, hey, you know, I've given this, like, you know, 3 or 4 days now. I should have returned back to Texas to my sister. There's no, like, you know, she still hasn't got it. Can't track it or anything like that. Maybe say something again to them, but that's tough.
I know.
One of the new Apple Watches?
No, it was an old one. I was actually going to re-gift it because she didn't use it.
I'll say, did you?
So I got it on the cheap.
Because you have one.
Yeah.
I'll say, yeah.
Yeah, I'm planning on re-gifting it.
Gotcha.
Because that's what I like to do.
Gotcha.
But I don't know. I don't
Rick's
know.
Or re-gift.
I
may be.
You got to give it some time because it just was, I mean, but 5 days. If they. Depending on when they sent it back.
I know. Gotta be expecting. I mean, the weekend was in there, so we'll give them a couple extra days.
I hate when apartment complexes do this. I don't know if it went straight to that doorstep or if it went to your leasing office and they called them up there. Because like, it's just, look at the names. All right, I've got a similar story. About 6 months ago, I bought like this stability ball from Amazon. Do a little workout at my house when I'm watching commercials, do some crunches and stuff on the stability ball, do some planks, whatever. So... Amazon said it was delivered. You know, Amazon's very good about their logistics. It's delivered. It's in the office. I go up to the office three different times, and my leasing office is pretty bad about, you know, getting the packages to you when they should.
Sure.
They say they'll send you a text. Sometimes you get it days after Amazon's already told you it's there. You get the text 2 days later after I've already picked it up. Things like that.
Yeah.
And so I went up there. They're like, no, we don't have it. We don't see your apartment number. You know, I tell my apartment, we don't see it. It's not only. I was like, well, can you please make sure that Amazon maybe didn't write the wrong number on the outside, like when they do it in Sharpie, and that my name's not on any of the labels.
Yeah.
They were like, oh, yeah, we've already done that. Another 2 days goes past. This is like 5 days now. I go back up there. I'm like, Amazon's telling me it's here. You got to check again for me.
Yeah, just please go.
Then we go in there and check together in the mailroom. I see my name on a package, but it said like 5203. I stay in like 5206.
Okay.
And it said like 5203. And I was like, see, this is what I've been telling you guys. Check the labels.
Yeah.
There it was. And after all that time, I'd already got a refund from Amazon. So, like, because I was like, hey, I didn't get it. You got to give me a refund. So I had to, like, go through a process getting them back their money that they gave me back that I'd paid originally. And all of this could have been avoided if people would have just looked at the labels. And that's maybe what could have happened to you.
And I hope that is what happened. Like, I hope they just sent it back. But it's also one of those things that's like, if the address was the exact same and it just came to your apartment number wrong, like it.
Well, they could have took it back
still,
to the leasing office.
It's likely still in the apartment complex. Yeah. Like, obviously, the apartment number got messed up because when you put the address is for the entire apartment complex,
yes,
right?
Yes.
It's not, you know, it's not just like some side street somewhere. So, yeah.
Yeah,
I think they
dropped the ball by what they should have done. Maybe even not give it back to the postmaster. Just take it back to the leasing office.
And just say, hey, do you have anybody named Frederick Butler?
Yeah, I think that, you know, I got this package by mistake. this probably belongs to somebody who lives here. That's what they should have done. I agree with you, Rick.
I bet they're keeping it.
Oh, I know.
I bet you they're keeping it.
I bet they're wearing it right now.
Probably. They're probably listening.
Apparently, it's a federal crime to open up somebody's package.
Yes.
Yes. It's very much so. Federal crime. You cannot do that.
Yeah. Porch pirates. We talked about them a couple weeks ago.
Well, technically, they didn't porch pirate you.
Well, yeah.
That would have meant it would have been on your doorstep and they took it from you. But it's a federal crime to open up mail that is not yours.
Well.
Threaten them with the felony next time you talk to them. Tell them you're going to call the
police.
That's
the thing. They won't see me face to face.
You got to sit out there. Yeah. You got to stake it out.
They're cowards.
You got to stake out.
They're cowards.
They got to take the trash out. They got to leave sometime at night. just sit there on your doorstep. You know, you got a camping chair, a little folding chair. Sit out there and just listen to some music or some podcasts.
Yeah. I'm going to wait till Brandon and Cody get back, and we'll all just post up right there, writing a little line. You know?
Why do you gotta involve me in your problems?
Why don't
you wanna have my back here?
I do.
I thought you'd be like, hey, Rick,
I've got your back.
Let's go beat some people up. Let's go knock some skulls.
Sounds like you got his back
said it sounded like an old lady in there.
He's gonna have my back from the living room in our apartment.
I got your back, Rick.
Technically I'll be behind.
You said it sounded like there was an old lady in there.
Well, if she's stealing my packages, it doesn't matter who she is.
You can't go.
I'll take a fight to anybody.
Skull? No. Yeah,
a thief is a thief. A crook is a crook.
You kind of like thieves, though, so is this karma?
No. These are not the people I respect. This person just kept someone else's property, all right? They didn't do anything smooth to go steal it, to go hide from someone. They're just cowardly.
She's doing something pretty smooth to give you the runaround, though, so you kind of respect that.
She got a little game.
She does. She put me in a position where there's nothing. She put me in a position where there's nothing I can do for the time being except for wait.
Well, she's playing the old lady card. Who's going to think this nice old lady's going to be stealing Apple Watches out here? Meanwhile, she has a whole underground. She's been doing this on the black market for years.
Yeah, she's just been collecting people's...
She invented Porch Pirate.
Yeah. We might have just found the originator of the whole thing. Should we expose them? Tell them where they live? No, we can't do that because then they would know where we live.
If your sister doesn't get the...
I don't want people to know where we live.
If she doesn't receive that watch by this weekend, I say you start apartment wars.
Oh. Oh. I'm down.
Do it.
I'm down. We will cause...
You can't steal a man's smell.
We are buddies with our other neighbor who works for the apartment complex. We have befriended this guy. He works for the complex... He's on our side.
Chestnut checkers.
Yeah, she likes L-Sweet, I like some sweet tea. And she likes my boots with these blue jeans. And she likes popping buttons on my purse, man. And she likes my cowboy hat, but she loves me for my twang.
All right, back here on the Blitz, 10:35 a.m., packed show so far. We've been talking a little bit about some of the Tennessee players who need to step up for this Ole Miss game. We've been talking a little bit about our porch pirate situation. And yes, we did clear the debate once and for all. Toboggan is canceled.
No, it's not.
I'm sorry, Brandon. I just said we cleared up the debate once and for all.
It's canceled.
That's final.
It's canceled, Brandon.
Why'd you take it off?
Because it was getting warm in here.
Oh, I thought we like shamed you into taking it off.
No.
Oh.
I think we did.
I'm a little worried. I feel bad now.
Taking that victory lap.
I'm sorry. Anyways. All right, Thompson Bowling Arena tonight, 9 o'clock p.m. Tennessee, a 7.5-point favorite. Chance, I'll start with you with that. What does that point spread look like to you? You are the gambling expert on the show. Where would you kind of take that line if you were putting down some money?
I don't know about the expert. I tend to lose a lot more than I should win. But,
I should say you know more than
me. I like to gamble. I think it's a pretty nice line. You said 7.5, right?
Yes.
Ole Miss hasn't won an SEC conference game as well. They're a pretty bad team. They're still trying to. Kermit Davis really still trying to get that program up on its feet. He didn't do awful in his first year.
Made the tournament, didn't they?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like he still has some players, and this year they kind of just they've been struggling.
Yeah.
I don't think it's bad, but I personally would likely in this one take Ole Miss simply because Tennessee has never played really well down there at the Pavilion.
It's at home.
Oh, is it? Oh, yep. Well, I thought TBA. It was on the road. Well, I'll take Tennessee at home then. I actually like that much better. I was this whole time. I was thinking that it was on the road, another road matchup. I think I would take Tennessee at home then. They should be pretty amped up from last game, you think. They know what they got to do. And then when they look at how they've struggled, I'm sure Rick Barnes has talked about this to them, they can't escape it. The rest of the league, you don't know anything about, so they're not out of this thing. Even though on paper and what we've seen, the eye test, they don't have the team to make a run. Like we all agree on that. Like they're not going to make it. If they do make it to the tournament, it'll be a nice run if they make it to a Sweet 16 with this team with the lack of scoring ability. But, you know, they look around the league, they're still not out of this whole conference thing just because of the parity in the league and how many teams have been up and down and the inconsistencies. So, yeah, I would take Tennessee tonight with that being said, since it is a home game. I think they can cover that.
Yeah, Chance, that's something I didn't really even think about, it is that we kind of know at least the direction that Tennessee is heading, and a lot of us are kind of saying here, especially in the last few weeks, man, it's going to be such an uphill battle into the NCAA tournament. It's going to be an uphill battle into, you know, maybe even a play-in game. A lot of people have gone from, hey, this is probably one of the last, you know, 10 or 15 teams in, to, hey, this is a bubble team. Some people are already out. But that's also one of the big things that you got to look at in terms of college basketball this year is, Brandon, you made this point yesterday, everybody is inconsistent, right? So any game that you have, especially something like the SEC tournament, I feel like this year is shaping up to be completely different than it's at least been in the couple years, because those last few years, you've at least had a couple of dominant teams who you expected to get there, right? Last year was obviously Tennessee, Auburn, Kentucky, maybe LSU. But it doesn't seem like that this year. So I still think that maybe, you know, the Vols could still have a chance just because you don't know what everyone else is going to do from a week-to-week basis.
Well, I mean, it depends on can this team get it figured out down the stretch. Can they – I mean, you're not going to win. I don't care how inconsistent everybody else is. If you can't shoot the ball, you're not going to go very far in a tournament.
Sure.
If you can't consistently make shots. I don't know. I don't think this team's anywhere close to an NCAA tournament, and I'm just and I know it sounds cliche, but game by game, because I think that's how you have to look at this basketball season. Is because, like, I mean, we talked about it yesterday. Look at over this past weekend, just in the SEC, you had Florida beat Auburn. Earlier in the week, you had South Carolina beat Kentucky. You've had teams that just, for no rhyme or reason, beat team, and until you start to see a team that kind of becomes a favorite, I don't know if you can say that anybody's a guaranteed win night in and night out, besides Vanderbilt. I will put Vanderbilt on that list. Vanderbilt is not good.
Yeah, especially after they was it Neesmith that they lost? Naismith?
I'm not sure.
Regardless.
Nesbitt, you talking about for Vanderbilt?
Yes.
Yeah, Nesbitt.
That's the one who went out?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you're right. Even then, once they lost them, that's just a completely different team. All right, so when you look at this Ole Miss team, you guys are right. They've lost their last five. Those games have come against LSU, Florida, Arkansas, Texas A&M, and Wichita State. But they've been, you got some close losses in there. Their most recent one to LSU, they only lost by 4, 80-76. They only lost to Arkansas by 4. A&M by 10. So I think this is a team that can at least stay competitive, I think, for a while in these games. But, man, but also, like, they're kind of the same. They're very inconsistent. Scored 76 points in a close loss against LSU, but the game before, they lost by almost 20 to Florida. It's a weird team. One of their key players who you're pretty much going to have to – who's going to be the main key for Ole Miss – I think a lot of this game is going to depend on this guy, at least for the Rebels, is Brian Tyree. He is their superstar, playing 33 minutes a game, averaging about 19 points a game, and his last three games have been rock solid. He scored 36, 27, and 26. Now, granted, he didn't play a middle game versus Florida between the LSU and Arkansas game. I believe I actually heard earlier on 3 and Out that he's dealing with some back issues. But it looks like he's going to be set to play tonight. How do you think the Tennessee's going to try to guard Ole Miss's best player? I'm kind of thinking back to Tennessee's game against, who was it right before Vanderbilt?
Georgia.
Georgia, right? When I'm pretty sure Georgia's star, Anthony Edwards, went on. I mean, we couldn't slow him down. He scored 26 points. I will say, like, I am nervous that, you know, we might not be able to stop their star tonight. How do you think Tennessee is going to try to slow down Brian Tyree?
I mean, if I would probably put Jordan Bowden on him. If I mean, that's who I would. I mean, Jordan Bowden's probably your best perimeter defender.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where I'd start. And I mean, if things kind of continue, I mean, if he lights you up, which I mean, I don't see him having a Anthony Edwards type night. So I mean, I'm not scared of this guy. Are you?
I don't know, man. His last two games, he shot 50% from three and then 66% from three. His last three games have been great. Obviously,
should I be scared of this guy?
I think
Brian of Tarth?
Brian of Tyree.
Yeah. Should I be scared?
I don't know if you should be scared, but I think that you should definitely know that name when you watch the game tonight. I think a lot of their offense is going to come through him. I definitely think that. Kind of look at that. Literally, in the last 3 minutes, the spread on ESPN has changed. It dropped from Tennessee 7.5 to Tennessee 7. That was literally in this segment. It's interesting. So anyways, definitely going to be a big game, and definitely a game that Tennessee has to win. Brandon, you said last week, kind of before the Georgia game, before the Vanderbilt game, you got to win your home games, right? And especially like this, where you can take advantage of a team that has less talent than you. You cannot let them come in and sneak a road win. You just can't. This has to be a strong game from Tennessee. You got to win these home games. Because there's going to be a time down the season where you do have home games, and they're going to be a way harder challenge.
Yeah, and it's getting closer and closer to that time. I mean, you've got this game tonight. Then you go to Kansas, number three team in the country. You got A&M at home, and then you've got two road games back-to-back at Mississippi State, at Alabama, and then Kentucky at home. And then you host Arkansas, who's not bad.
No. Yeah, this is a tough stretch. This is, we're about to really get in the thick of things.
Yeah, I mean, you're basically here, and I think you have to win this game tonight, and you've got to find a way. I mean, like I said, you got to win your home games, especially against these teams that are comparable to you, similar talent. You got to win the games at home. And so far, you've done that with the exception of LSU. But I would say that they're probably a little bit better than you are.
You want to know something strange? The Tennessee Volunteers rankings for points per game and points allowed per game, we are currently 342nd for points per game and 11th for points allowed per game.
How many division one? How many division one schools
get to 342nd?
You don't shoot the ball well. How many division one schools are there?
I have no idea.
I think there's 300 something. So we're pretty close to last.
It's not good. But isn't that kind of a microcosm of what we've seen this whole season so far? We never really have found a consistent offensive stroke. And at the same time, we've been saying, man, your defense is carrying you only as far as they can. Obviously, 11th in the country.
Wait, what number were we?
According to ESPN, it says 342nd. Is there 342?
There's 347.
Oh. Ain't nobody got time for that.
Oh, no. So this is now sinking in that we're the fifth worst offensive team in the country in terms of points per game?
Yeah.
Oh, my. That hurts.
We're good defensively,
that
though.
That hits you like a ton of bricks. I mean, you know that Tennessee's not, you know, we know that they've been struggling. We know that the offense hasn't necessarily been when it should. But to say that we're 342nd out of 347, yikes. That is embarrassing. You want to know who's behind us?
Not really, but sure, go ahead.
Team statistics. All right, here we go. Oh, this is good. Yeah, okay.
The anticipation's killing me.
Well, you're going to have to wait a second. Well, I'll tell you on the other side of the break,
because
it's going to take me a while to get there. Hey, we'll be right back on the other side of the break. Continue to talk about the Tennessee-Ole Miss game. Don't go anywhere. You listen to the Blitz. 353 schools in this. Tennessee is at 304.
So not as bad as you originally said.
Not as bad as I originally said, but it is weird.
Fake news.
Because on Tennessee basketball's ESPN page, it's exactly what it says, 342nd. And then when you click full results, it moves us over to 304. But I will say, we're not with the greatest competition. We are tied with Texas. But here are a couple of the teams behind you. They're very funny. Jackson State, UC Riverside. Do you know the mascots to these?
No, not all of them.
The Incarnate Word. They're scoring just 2 points worse than us. NJIT, the New Jersey Institutional or Institution of Tech. Mississippi Valley State. Mountain St. Mary's. Marist. Fordham. I will say, Virginia, third worst points per game team in the out of all 353. It's crazy. It's crazy, some of the parity that's going on. Anyway, so any kind of last-minute thoughts on Tennessee-Ole Miss tonight?
Rick Barnes going for his 100th win at Tennessee tonight.
100th?
Mm-hmm.
At Tennessee, nice.
Good he for him. Is 99 and 55 in his time at Tennessee. So, I think this is accurate. We're 11 and 5, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so that's right.
No, 11 and 6.
No, well.
I guess, yeah, that doesn't change the wins. Well, certainly, hopefully, we can definitely get Rick Barnes that 100th win tonight. Look, I think that this is definitely a game that Tennessee wins, and I really, really hope that in the second half you see this team be able to put together the offensive schemes to pull away. But, man, it's just – it's so tough with this team. You're right. You got to take it a game-by-game basis. Tennessee is better than this team. Tennessee should beat Ole Miss at least fairly handily, but you just never know. You never know what might happen.
Well, I mean, I mean, we've talked about Jordan Bowden, but Fulkerson. I mean, Fulkerson's been playing well. I think you're going to have another good outing from him.
Certainly.
Pons, who I feel like Pons had kind of been struggling, but he had a nice offensive outing against Vanderbilt. So hopefully that can continue. And I mean, we're coming off two road games. You go to Georgia, to Vanderbilt, finally coming back home. Maybe guys settle down a little bit, and you can maybe make some – maybe shots feel a little bit easier shooting in a gym that you're a little bit more comfortable in. So hopefully those guys can knock down some shots and continue to play solid defense.
Yeah, I would definitely tend to agree. All right, so that's it for pretty much our Tennessee-Ole Miss basketball coverage. We'll certainly touch back on that towards the end of the show. But I want to kind of give you a preview for what's coming up in hour number two, because we're going to be all over the place. We pretty much spent the entire hour number one on Tennessee hoops. And it's a little bit about what we have in the bag left. So first off, we had some breaking news this morning around 8 o'clock about college athletes and getting paid in Tennessee. There's currently legislation that that has been sent through. We'll give you all the details on that. We could be seeing very soon here Tennessee volunteer players be able to get paid for promotions from local businesses, local organizations. We'll give you all that, that full story and more. What else do we have? Phil Fulmer, he went on the Paul Feinbaum show yesterday. He was talking about the SEC play, or not the SEC, the NCAA playoffs. They asked Philip, Fulmer, what do you think? Like, do you think the four team is working? Would you expand it? What would you do? Spoiler alert, Fulmer's ready to expand. And I think that his reasoning is very spot on.
I think a lot of people are in that sense. Like, it's been, in effect for, 5 years now, the playoff? I think 5 years. Starting in 2014.
Yes.
2013.
And they're halfway through their contract.
Was the last BCS.
Because I believe it was a 10-year.
Yeah, 10-year. It's just, you see all the elevated, like, there's a, I guess, a mixture of more teams that are just always like, yeah, they probably could do some damage too, one loss. I think it's going to push that way eventually. I don't think he's the only person. Which
yeah.
is good. Good for college football fans.
Yeah, I definitely think so too. And then still, either coming up today or tomorrow, depending on if we get time with it, we got this Tennessee quarterback stuff to talk about. I think that my opinion, look, I went into this research trying to find a way to help back my argument, right? I felt like if I got all these statistics together, something might show that we really haven't seen before, or some kind of statistic uncovers itself. And I think a couple of stories did, looking at these statistics. It's very interesting. And I don't really know how I feel about it, so I might have to bring that to the table to you guys to try to make sense of some of these stats. Hey, we got a great hour coming up next, so don't go anywhere. You won't want to miss it. Hour number two of the Blitz up next.